Hey, Hicken here. Thanks for checking out the 1010XL On Demand. It's brought to you by Kuhn Flowers, locations on Beach Boulevard and in Ponte Vedra. Kuhn Flowers wants to be your florist.
Fires to the right side. That ball is intercepted. DJ Hayden went up and got it. Now he stands up. He's going to run it back along the far sideline. Knocked out of bounds just shy of the 30-yard line. Great work by DJ Hayden. He picks off Andrew Luck. It's a jet sweep, and the Jags knock the ball out of there. The Jags pick up the fumble. What a job by this Jaguars defense. Pressed again, asked to stand up again. They stand up again. Miles Jack recovers it at the 40-yard line of the Jaguars. Luck, play fake. He's hit. He's sacked. Now flags come in. But he is sacked.
He came in, competed. We told him that we got his back. You know, he's a rookie, everything like that. But just go out there and play. You know, we all make mistakes, but we stick together.
Dropping his Luck. Goes to the right side. You called it, Jeff. He gets out of bounds. Now he stays in bounds. He is in bounds. 2-1. The game is over. They tackled him in bounds, and the Jags have won it. Oh, boy, do they need this.
I give a lot of credit to the players and the coaches. It's been a tough road here these past seven games, and they came to work every week. They worked hard, and, you know, they were able to go out there and play a heck of a game, especially defensively against a team that, you know, was really doing well offensively and coming in here with five straight wins.
Live from TIAA Bank Field, 1010XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey and Mike DeRocco.
Wait a minute, E.T., you sure we got the right mic in here? Are you 100% positive?
I think so, man.
All right, D-Rock is back. I'm just going to call you D-Rock to be safe for the next 2 hours. How are you, man?
I'm not sure who should be more offended, me or Bianchi. I don't really know.
What's he up to these days, by the way? I don't know. That's a rhetorical question.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Thanks for bringing Emmanuel Munchkins.
I am finally paid up with everybody.
You're
now.
All even now?
I'm all even
Tony
now.
Tony was aware you were going to do that in his absence.
Yes,
you were
going to
bring pastry in.
Yes.
Of some kind.
I noticed that Emmanuel hasn't offered you any, by the way.
No, he hasn't. That's okay.
Not yet.
Dunkin' Donuts, as I knew, I mean, they're proliferating all throughout the whole world, but they are strong in the Northeast.
Yeah,
people love their Dunkin'
HQ'd
Donuts
up there.
Up in the Northeast.
It's hard to find a Starbucks in the Boston area, too.
That's interesting. I don't drink coffee, so I didn't really notice whether is that why they drink the Dunkin' coffee?
Oh, they love Dunkin'.
Yeah.
Northeast.
I studiously avoided Boston. I had a chance to go. We were on the east coast of Maine, and we were going to stay in New York City. And, you know, it was a long whole day drive through. So we're like, let's find a place kind of in the middle. And truly, Boston's like right in the middle of Bar Harbor and Manhattan. I'm like, let's find another place. We can lay our heads for the night.
Did you go to Holy Donuts?
Yes.
And?
Phenomenal.
I told you.
You did
I
too.
Told
Ken Brady
you.
Did too. KB, we did go to Holy Donuts. And it was funny because I don't know if I mentioned it to my wife. And then we're walking around Portland, Maine. And she's like, I want to go there. Right? Like, we're up early. We're like seeing the little town. It's a nice little town.
Cool
it's got some unique shops in there. They sell a lot of, let's just say, glass up there. Okay. homemade glass. If you can imagine. Anyway, so we went to Holy Donuts, and I'm like, oh, this is the place that was recommended to me, and they were, gotta admit, they were really good. They were so good that I thought, I need to find out how to make donuts out of mashed potatoes.
Right.
Bring that to Florida, because Florida does not have, I don't know of any other place that does that.
Yeah, no.
And it sounds crazy.
And they are phenomenal.
It's like eating the most spongy, rich cake you've ever had in your life.
Oh, it's awesome.
It really was awesome. I had the toasted coconut because that's the greatest flavor concoction
devised.
And So your recommendation was very solid. I told you I went to the Baseball Hall of Fame. You have not been to the Baseball Hall of Fame?
Nope, have not.
Just so you know, nowhere to be found, Ted Williams' severed head. Just couldn't find it. Look for it. Look for it. Because didn't they defrost it? Is it still in the deep freeze?
I thought they were still fighting
over
that.
I heard it was kicked around a little bit.
I thought it was in like the Coca-Cola.
Didn't see his severed head.
Yeah.
Made a point on the 75th anniversary of D-Day. That was the day we were at the Hall of Fame.
Oh,
so I tweeted out some plaques of Hall of Fame members who had served in the military. Left Ted Williams out. I only had room for four photos, man.
Unbelievable.
Only had room for four photos. Had to get Willie Mays in there. Had to get Joe D in there. It's the way it goes, D-Rock. It's worth the trip, though, if you're a baseball fan.
Everybody that's ever gone has told me it's phenomenal.
Would you rather go there or the cryogenics lab that has Ted Williams' head? Be honest.
I probably would rather go to the Hall of Fame. Yes.
All right. You're probably on board with
everybody. I don't think I
want
to see anybody's severed head frozen in a block of ice.
Or in any other form, for that matter. I'm with you on that. What did I miss? Now, as we make a transition to Jaguar football here, welcome back to Jaguars Today. What stood out, if anything, to you at the mini camp last week?
On the field. Nothing really stood out differently than during an OTAs because I thought, I thought Chris Conley still looked pretty good. I think the receivers caught a lot of stuff. A few more drops in the mini camp than before.
Is he the story right now? I mean, look, the story focuses on the pass catchers and the quarterbacks in this kind of setting anyway. But is he the story that outside of Jacksonville, more people need to be talking about when it comes to this team? Because he has looked as good as anybody in that wide receiver core. And again, it's a small sample size and it's not against, full speed competition.
Right. And they didn't have, they weren't going up against Jalen and AJ every single day. But I do think that might be one of those under the radar free agent signings that people are talking about in October.
I hope because he far exceeds expectations. I hope it's not just because he's joining a group where Chris Connolly, who's never really made his mark in the National Football League, is just the best by default.
Well, I mean, I don't know that it'll be that, but I do think that there's clearly a level of trust and comfort between Nick Foles and him from the time they spent together in Kansas
City. Which is pretty interesting because it's been a while.
Right, exactly. But there's a little bit of you got to develop that relationship with the receivers, and Foles is doing everything he can, obviously, to do that. And it'll continue to develop. But clearly, when you've got a guy that you trust more than, or and are more comfortable with than other guys, that's the guy you're going to lean on early. And I'm not saying this kid's going to catch 75 balls either, and he may not end up leading them in receptions. But I do think that he's going to be a guy early on in the season that is probably going to make some plays for them that may make us think, wow, that was a free agent signing that we just kind of glossed over in March and turns out to be one of the better ones.
Yeah, Loggeman said a while back he thought Westbrook and Connolly would end up being the top two guys.
I would agree. Because
it'll probably take Lee a little while to be fully
up to speed. Think Dede could be a big-time playmaker in the league for them. I do think that's – if they're going to do what they can to go ahead and get involved in different ways, I think he can be a big-time playmaker.
Speaking of the passing game, Nick Foles featured among an option today in our question of the day presented by Gravely Zero Turn Mowers, an American workhorse since 1916. We ask you on social media, which of these do you think is the most likely to happen out of only choosing one of these four? Nick Foles starts all 16 games. He's never done that in the National Football League. He hasn't always gone into a season as the undisputed starter either.
Twice.
Right. So, but he never managed to make it through the full year, starting all 16. So that's option A. Leonard Fournette averages 4.5 yards per carry or better, which from, top end of the league or top half of the league running backs, it's not that stunning a number. Plenty of guys can average 4.5 yards a carry in a given season. He's never hit four yet, but the 90-yard run, the 75-yard run shows you he's got the breakaway ability, which you need to have if you're going to average that. So that's another option. Talvin Smith ever plays for the Jaguars again. Not just this year. Ever suits up for the Jags again. Or Yannick Ngakoue gets a contract, a new contract, extension, ripped up this one, get a brand new one, however you want to term it, a new contract for Yon before the season opener against Kansas City this year. You can vote on that on Twitter at MD_1010XL. Of course, direct your tweets towards ESPN Duraco and IME to the T as well. Jaguars Today Facebook page up and running if you want to get into that question, as well as on the phone lines or the text line, which is built by Lifetime Enclosures at 641-1010. Mike Duraco is here with us.
Who else would it be?
I don't have any idea. Mike Duraco from ESPN.com has joined us on the program. I believe that was static interference is what that was. So maybe we can get Tony Smith to stop by sometime. But it's doubtful at this point. I may need it.
I know you got nothing but love for D-Rock.
Dionkey may black my eye before the hour is up.
That's what I'm calling you now. That's okay. I can live with that.
That's what I'm calling you now. I'm just going to combine the two names. Mike DiRocco, Mike Dempsey, Emmanuel Thalerand here with you. Jaguars today on 1010XL 92.5 FM. Hey, folks, we've all had that routine maintenance check engine repair light lighting up your dashboard. Glad I didn't have that on my vacation. We did a lot of driving. Mike Dempsey here. If you're not sure where to go when that happens, make Tire Outlet your one-stop shop for repairs to oil changes, because they can do it all. 9 locations around Jacksonville. Jacksonville's largest locally owned tire store. And right now you can come in for a basic oil change and inspection for only $18.99. Yes, I said $18.99 for a basic oil change and inspection. That's Tire Outlet. Check them out. TireOutlet.com. Wholesale prices and premium service.
Jaguars Today Wednesday is brought to you by Metro Rooter.
This is Jaguars Today from the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute Studios.
JOI, where the pros go.
Hayes Carlion's Jaguars blog, Ryan Green on preps, and everything in between, including David Lamb's Lamb at Large.
I know. I checked online.
Visit 1010XL.com.
They're online and ready.
1010XL.com.
You know Garber Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram in Green Cove Springs can wiggle on price, but did you know Garber Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram is home to a lifetime warranty on all new vehicles? Come see the new Jeep Gladiator. We have huge savings on Jeep Wranglers all month long. Don't forget, we're now open 7 days a week. Come see us in Green Cove Springs or visit us at GarberAutoMall.com. And now at Garber Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram, we can wiggle it for life.
Metro Rooter, you've probably heard of us. It's no accident that by providing same-day service, professional technicians, and the right equipment, hundreds of businesses count on us every week to keep their drains draining, their plumbing functioning, and their pumps pumping. I'm Tom McLaughlin, CEO of Metro Rooter. And if you are a current customer of ours, I want to thank you for your continued confidence in Metro Rooter. If you'd like to contact Metro Rooter, the plumbing service you can trust, we're on the web at MetroRooter.com or just call 695-1911. Thank you.
Whatever you think about global warming, we're sure about summer warming. Old windows cost a lot of money in higher AC bills. American Window Products will replace your old windows with Eastern architectural systems and save you the money that's slipping through the cracks. As a 1010XL listener, you'll get a free Energy Star glass package and the best window installation available at AmericanWindowProducts.com. AmericanWindowProducts.com. American Windows.
Boat sale, boat sale, boat sale has been extended due to the incredible response. Florida RV and Marine Wellcraft's number one boat dealer is blowing out all remaining last year models, center consoles, bow riders, and deck boats, including all used inventory. If you want to enjoy the water this summer, you do not want to miss this sale with the best prices of the year. Financing is available for qualified buyers with the lowest rates available. Visit Florida RV and Marine, I-295 at Collins Road, or call 783-7676 or visit FloridaRVandMarine.com.
Jumbo Shrimp Baseball presented by Community First, with tickets starting at just $5, is home this weekend.
Find out more at AirstreamVentures.com. That's AirstreamVentures.com.
I'm here with Clayton Bromberg of Underwoods. Clayton, I have heard you talk about growing a diamond from a small size to a larger size. Exactly how does that work at Underwoods?
David, it's a very simple thing we do on diamond solitaire rings and diamond ear studs and diamond solitaire necklaces. When a customer buys one of these items from Underwoods, we guarantee they get the price paid for it on the purchase of any larger or more expensive diamond. Now, a lot of places would say we do the same thing, but where Underwoods is different is we don't care if you're only trading up by 1/100th of a carat or going up by $1. We give the customer the full value of the diamond they're trading in. The Underwood Grow a Diamond program has been in place for a number of years, and it's something the people here in North Florida have been taking advantage of for a long time.
That's at Underwoods, where you can grow a diamond.
Underwoods, serving excellence since 1928. In San Marco, Avondale, and the shops of Pontevedra.
Underwood Jewelers.
Ritz Safety is Jacksonville's home for work boots, FR apparel, and safety equipment from manufacturers like Honeywell Safety Products and others at 4456 Phillips Highway, a half mile south of Walmart. Open Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 5:30 p.m.
Get inside the Gators with a Florida Gator Report with Lauren Brooks.
Go Gators!
brought to you by Darley's Plumbing, where quality counts.
A big win for the Florida Gators.
Get your Gators on 1010XL. Now, more Jaguars today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, you guys into Spotify? You use Spotify for anything? He does. What is Spotify exactly? I don't use it.
It's a music streaming platform.
So you just like iTunes kind of thing?
Yep.
Okay.
A free version.
Don't use that either. Yeah. So I use Alexa. If Alexa doesn't have it, then I don't hear any other music. Hey, Alexa, play this. That's what I do. I saw Duval Doom tweeting out this morning that he wished Spotify, and I'm paraphrasing, I don't have it right in front of me, had a function where you could block all remakes of songs, only the original. What's the best remake of a song that's even better than the original? I told D-Rock that Red Red Wine by UB40 was originally done by Neil Diamond. And as you might imagine, stick with the UB40 cover of that song. Hacker always used to, I like Simple Man by Shinedown. I'm like, Hacker, that's by Lynyrd Skynyrd, okay? But he preferred the Shinedown version, okay? So Hacker would not block the redos on Spotify if he uses Spotify. Anything you could think of, remake, think about that.
I mean, it's kind of on the spot, but I do know that Weezer does a pretty good cover of Africa.
They do.
Toto's Africa. That's
I probably heard it.
Yeah.
I think I have heard it. I think it is pretty good.
Yeah.
But I don't know if it, I don't know if it was so different. You know what I liked? I don't think it's better. It's just different. I like Limp Bizkit's Behind Blue Eyes that they covered from The Who. Now, The Who's my all-time favorite, so hard for me to say that the original is not the best. But it was just a different, they made it their own, as Simon might say or might have said on American Idol.
I like Leanne Rimes' How Do I Live.
How Do I Live? Who did the original?
I think Shania Twain.
Was it Shania Twain?
I believe so.
All right. Kravitz's American Woman's pretty good.
Here's a question for you. If in a blind listening, me had Shania Twain and Leanne Rimes both sing their versions of that, would I be able to tell them apart?
She made it her own.
I don't know.
I couldn't distinguish, I don't think, between Leanne Rimes. I know who I could picture them both. I don't know if I could tell you what they sound like. You know what I mean?
Great song.
Great song.
Aretha Franklin, right. By the way, that Respect was originally done by Otis Redding.
I don't care who it was done by. Once you said it was originally done by, Aretha's better.
Well, then that might be the best one then.
That may be the best one. That's a good one. Think about that. If you want to submit one that you think is the remake is better than the original.
I just saw this list. I didn't even, this stuff is blowing me because I didn't know this.
You went to the Google machine.
I did do the Google machine, the Google on the internet machine. Hound Dog was actually originally done by Big Mama Thornton.
Of course it was.
1953. And then Elvis did it 3 years later, and no one knows who the hell Big Mama Thornton is.
Right. Well, there's a lot of that cultural appropriation going on with Elvis back in the day, apparently. But, I guess if you do it well enough, everybody remembers you as the one. What else you got? Any other ones that stand out?
Let's see here. All Along the Watchtower was originally
Bob Dylan. Bob Dylan.
Jimi Hendrix did it the other
day.
That's
a good one.
The Beatles redid Twist and Shout.
Was the original?
Top Notes originally did that.
Huh.
You know what? I've heard the original I Love Rock and Roll, and then I've heard Joan Jett's and the Blackhearts.
Who did the original?
The Arrows in 1975. So that's pretty good.
That is good.
Blueberry Hill, there you go, is Fats Domino redid that.
Okay.
So this is a pretty good list.
Cool. All these you identified the usurper more than the original.
Well, Wild Thing, the Wild Ones did it, and the Trogs redid it. That was pretty good. Did you know that Chuck Berry?
I did not.
Did originally
anything know about Chuck Berry?
Surfing USA.
Did he?
Yeah, the Beach Boys.
Real? Of course they did.
That's kind of cool. I'm just kind of looking.
And then Marty McFly did Chuck Berry,
right.
I believe.
Unchained Melody, the
Righteous Brothers.
Righteous Brothers. Nope. Todd Duncan.
Todd Duncan.
A decade before. So that's pretty cool.
I like Todd's version. It's underappreciated.
Down that rabbit hole.
Yeah, I like rabbit holes, though. Rabbit holes are good for sports talk radio, especially for an NFL show. in which the team will not be back on the field until July 25th.
Right.
Let's see what Jimmy in Mandarin has to say. He wants to join us on the program this morning. Jimmy, good morning. You're on Jaguars Today. What's going on?
Good morning. Hey, how about Van Halen, Pretty Woman, originally done by Roy Orbison?
But Roy Orbison's version is really good, you know? And
I know, but Van Halen's is better.
Is in your opinion?
True.
All right, that's cool. I get that one. I thought he might have gone California Girls, which is another, obviously, from the Beach Boys.
That was a phenomenal video, too. With Van Halen, or David
I'll
Lee
give
Roth
him the video,
yeah.
Right? But like Roy Orbison's Pretty Woman is awesome.
It's pretty good.
You know,
it is pretty
so
good.
It's a matter of personal preference. The other ones, if you can't remember who really did the original, the remake is probably better. You know?
Yes.
That's just the way it goes. So if you want to share your thoughts on that with us, you're welcome to. D-Rock, I think I've given you plenty of time. I told you I would pose this question to you. We asked yesterday, among the things we're talking about, what best describes in three words the Jaguars offseason? Could it be a three-word phrase, three standalone words? What three words would you apply to the Jaguars offseason to this point?
I think if I was going to use one three-word phrase, it would probably be up and down.
Up and down.
Because The high of Nick Foles signing, the low of Telvin not coming, the low of Ngakoue not being there for minicamp, the low of Leonard Fournette skipping six OTAs, that kind of thing. But if I were going to just go three individual words, it would probably be excitement, disappointment, and then finally hope.
Your excitement and your disappointment are mixed.
Yes. Yeah. Excitement, you know, excitement over Foles.
Yeah.
Disappointment over the Telvin stuff. And
sure.
And then hope, because I do think
back to Foles, kind of.
Yeah, I mean, this team should have enough talent to challenge for the division title, theoretically. I mean, they should. I mean, they've got a better quarterback who should be worth more than two wins for them over last year's team.
You hope.
There's not going to be – it would be hard to imagine there being that many injuries again, that one position group being hampered by so many injuries. You're better equipped to handle if Fournette's not healthy or not playing well. It seems that the wide receiver group might be a little better than we thought. And then there's still a bunch of playmakers on defense. You had Josh Allen to Unique Ngakoue and Calais Campbell. And
The
secondary is pretty damn good. And, yeah, there's some issues
the
at linebacker.
The corner certainly proven.
But, I mean, Miles Jack is still there. And, you know, you got Jalen on one side and A.J. Boye on the other. So, I mean, what more could you
and
ask
a pretty
for?
Yeah. Damn good nickel in D.J. Hayden.
Exactly. So, I mean, I think there should be some hope going into training camp that this team is not – a 5-11 team again, that this team's an 8-9-10 win team.
You guys at ESPN did a thing rating the offseason for all 32 teams out there. Elite, above average, average, or too soon to tell. I thought it was interesting that there was no option for we really stunk this offseason, right? So I guess that was the too soon to tell. Did you get to pick what category your analysis went into?
Yeah, and I'm trying to remember
you
what
put it
was.
In above average.
I think it was above average.
You did. And you based it mostly on the fact that they upgraded significantly at quarterback.
The number one thing that they had to do was upgrade that position. They had to be better there than they were last year. And they signed the best guy that was available. So that alone, if they had not done, you know, if they hadn't nailed the draft with the first two picks, if they hadn't, you know, all of a sudden brought in a guy who looks like they're going to push the ball down the field offensively in John DeFilippo, I still would have said that was above average because they addressed their number one need, and it is the most pressing need on any team.
How much are they going to push the ball down the field?
A lot more. I think a lot. A lot more than we've seen over the last 4 or 5 years.
His thing in Minnesota was not running
not
it enough.
Not running it enough, right. And that's going to be interesting to see how that mix unfolds. Because that was pretty nice, by
the way. Thank you. I stifled a couple of sneezes right there.
Yeah, I mean, I
don't have a mute button. We need a mute button in the studio.
If there was complaints in Minnesota about not running it enough with those wide receivers that they have there, I imagine that's going to be an issue here too.
Well, I get why you'd want to throw it in Minnesota.
Right, you don't have to. I think it's partly our fault because we say they want to be a run-first offense, but that doesn't always necessarily mean that it's going to be 60-40 run-pass.
Right.
I think,
in fact, it rarely
it
would
never
be.
Is.
Even in an occasional game, it would be that.
Right. But they just want to be able to run the ball effectively. And the bottom line is they want to be able to run the ball in the second half of games when they're ahead and just chew up clock and still manage to move the ball consistently, get points. That's what they want to be. They want to be able to be a team that runs it, gets a lead, turns their defense loose, the pass rush loose, and then runs the ball, make some big plays, get short fields on some turnovers, run the ball, kill clock, kick some field goals, get a touchdown, you know, on a short field. That's what they want to be. And I do think by the end of the year, you know, the ratio will probably be pretty close to 50-50. I don't think this is going to be a team where it's going to be 60-40 pass run.
Still 50-50 puts you right there among the league leaders in running the football.
Right, and they were, I want to say, in 17, they were right at 50-50.
Yeah.
And they really didn't.
I think Seattle was last year. They were the most run-heavy team, right. I believe, in the National Football League.
So they didn't really have as good of receivers then that they do now, and certainly not as good a quarterback then as they do now. So I like to see them go down the field more because that should open things up in the run game. They didn't go down the field very much. Once Allen Robinson got hurt early 2017, there really wasn't much down the field. They didn't have anybody that could stretch it.
Right.
Now they've got guys that can stretch it in Conley, in Keelan Cole, who has had a really good offseason, OTAs, mini
bounce
camp.
Back.
Yeah, big-time bounce-back player.
I think
potential.
Didi can get behind the defense.
Yeah, absolutely. They've got guys that can stretch it. You know, with Terrell Pryor adding him to the mix, too, that's
true.
Interesting. So that, you know, you're not going to see teams on first and 10 from the 35 come out or from midfield come out in a goal line defense because they know it's going to be 27 time and time again. So stretching the field will help that run game. So I think there'll be a pretty decent mix, and I think John DeFilippo's probably – learned a little bit from what happened in Minnesota and will adjust.
By the way, yesterday we did a second question, a poll based on your feature at ESPN.com, but we did give a blowout instead of too soon to tell, because I feel like everything is really too soon to tell, right? We can sit here
in
and
reality,
go,
yes.
Right, you know, like it looks good on paper. Here's why it may be positive, but it's got to play out. So we gave you the option of elite, above average, average, or below average for the Jaguars offseason. 45% said average offseason. I'd probably go with above average like you because I do think when you upgrade the quarterback position, and again, we're not saying Nick Foles is a top five quarterback. We're saying that Blake is a bottom five quarterback, I think. At least I am. You know, I'm pretty comfortable.
By the
you know.
Time the season ended last year.
But, yes. Right. By the time the season ended in the second half of the year, he had gone from a guy that you knew could string, we saw it in 2017, could string together high-level play for about a month at a time, right? And that's not good enough in the National Football League to invest your future around. They found that out in a big way. So 45% said average, 43% said above average, 8% below average, 4% elite. By the way, the Cleveland Browns, the only team that got an elite ranking at ESPN.com.
The
addition of
sense.
Odell Beckham Jr. being the centerpiece of that. When we return in the moment, Mike DiRocco here with us from ESPN.com, at ESPN DiRocco on Twitter, will tell us where his current thoughts stand in terms of Yannick Ngakoue and the Jacksonville Jaguars and contract negotiations and when they may come to a head. We'll get into that conversation. Coming up next, you're welcome to join at 641-1010 on the phone line or the text line built by Lifetime Enclosures. Mike Dempsey, Mike DiRocco, and Emmanuel Thalerand. Jaguars today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Now more Jaguars today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
E.T., you better not be trying to tell me that Cyndi Lauper stole this song from somebody else. I can't believe that this is not the original.
I'm not sure.
Girls just want to have fun. I'm going to go pretty solidly in the camp that this was the original version and only version of this song back in the day. Can you name a second Cyndi Lauper song, Mike DiRocco?
True Colors.
True Colors. There you go. That's about the only other one I could name. That was very good, though. Very quick on your part. Somebody sent me a link, and now I can't find it. Maybe it was on Facebook. I'll have to go look. We're talking about this with Osher. Maybe I need to go back I guess, a couple days because it was Monday when we had John, and that's probably what it is. I probably just didn't go back far enough. But talking about the date when Yannick Ngakoue or any veteran player under contract needs to show up to have that season count towards free agency. And I asked Mike DiRocco here on the break, and you, D-Rock, responded with the same thing I was thinking, kind of the 10-week rule. I don't know if it's week 10 or week 11 technically that you have to show up, but you basically have to be there for the last six games of the season and play those six games, have those count, and that counts as a, quote, season towards free agency. By the way, I believe that is the same thing for, like, your pension and all those other things. To have it count as an official NFL season, you had to show up by that point. Johnny O was in here the other day saying, no, he felt that only applied to, like, guys who are under the franchise tag because they're not technically under contract. And he cited something that he saw talking about the 30-day rule, stating that a veteran player has to show up at least 30 days before the season opener in order to have that season count. And that didn't, like, I went with it.
It might be different because the guy is under contract as right. opposed to a guy on a franchise tag because he hasn't signed the contract.
Correct.
But I was under the impression it was the same for both.
I was too, but
I will look into that.
Right. It's not like I'm not confident enough in it now after what John brought to the table.
He may be right.
He may be.
He probably is.
But somebody sent me a link, and I got to find it now. They got it right off of NFL.com, and so, you know, obviously the league's official site, but I've got to read the word. Here we go. What constitutes an accrued season? This is from Bill McNeil, sent this along to me. With the link, six or more regular season games on a club's active or inactive reserve injured or reserve physically unable to perform list. So basically six games. And this is, well, yeah, what are, this is from 2018 NFL free agency frequently asked questions FAQ. You okay over there, by the way? All right, just making sure. No, you didn't. That's okay. I just wanted to make sure.
Yeah, I'm good.
Don't want a piece of your lung flying across the room. Yeah, what constitutes an accrued season? Six or more regular season games on a club's active and inactive, reserve injured, or reserve physically unable to perform list, the PUP list, obviously, there. Whether you're active or inactive for a game doesn't matter. If you're on the roster, the reserve injured list is injured reserve. And
right.
the reserve physically unable to perform is the PUP list, which you can be put on at the beginning of the season.
So if he were to show up for the first six, obviously, and then leave.
He
would still get credit for the year, right?
You could do that. Yeah.
I mean, no one's doing that, but I'm just saying.
Right.
Yeah.
It's interesting because no one does do that.
Because right. You wouldn't do that.
There are probably different – I wonder if there are different rules to apply as opposed to, like, did not report as opposed to left team. You know what I mean? There may be some different rules that govern that.
Right.
Regardless. But again, Johnny was going with what he called the 30-day rule.
Anyway.
You think they're going to get it done?
I think they're going to find a way.
Which is the point we're building towards.
Right.
Here.
I think they're going to find a way to get that thing done just before camp starts. Now, they're waiting on Telvin Smith. Honestly, this team needs Telvin Smith to either file some paperwork that he's retiring so that they can go ahead and get some of that salary cap relief. They're going to, if not, they're going to have to wait until.
Can't they give him a 5-day letter? Like at the beginning of training camp, isn't that what it is?
Yeah, I mean,
you give them the letter and say, "Hey, you have failed to report. You have 5 days to show up." And after that, if you go that route,
did not report.
Right, but once you're on that, you're done for the year.
But see, they need to either get him to file the retirement paperwork,
which I can't imagine he's going to do.
He may or may not. But I mean, just because you retire doesn't mean you can't come back next year.
True.
So you could retire. Come back, give the Jags the cap relief that they need to sign Ngakoue, and then you just petition the league to come back next year. Your contract just pauses. The Jags would owe them exactly what they owe them this year, next year. But if they have to wait till they put them on the do not report list, then
I assume you saw Telvin's Instagram post about the $88,000 fine.
Yes.
Does that seem like a guy, based on his commentary whose frame of mind is, let's get this team some salary cap
relief? No, and that's the thing. Like, I thought, like, we had talked about the Jags finding him, and I thought that's a bad PR move. I mean, I know they really weren't, their hands were tied a little bit because they have to, because he's not here and he hasn't filed any paperwork with the league. They had to do that. You can't just pick
and
choose.
You don't, by the way, have to fine him. You can pick and choose who you fine, can't
right,
you?
But you can't fine Unique and not fine him.
Is that right?
As a look, yes.
As a look.
Yes.
I agree with that as a
right,
look.
As a look.
In reality, could you opt to, right? Teams don't have to fine guys. I'm not saying they would do that. I'm just saying you would, or could you file a grievance like, hey, I got fined. This guy didn't get fined.
Right.
I don't know.
See, yeah, you got to find him. And I think that was a little bit of a nudge, like, hey, file some paperwork. Let's do something.
Right. There are repercussions to you just not showing up for work.
They are trying to get Telvin through his agent to go ahead and either file the paperwork and get that settled so that they can move forward. Or, I think that I just thought it was a bad look to do it. I knew it was. I mean, they had to do it pretty much, but I knew it was going to be a bad look, and it is. It's a bad look. I mean, but you got to do what you got to do for the Jags.
Look, I have sympathy or empathy, however you want to put it, for Telvin Smith if he's going through a situation. Talk about it all the time. Your family's more important than anything.
Correct.
Right? So if that's, I understand if you got to take care of yours, that's fine. At the same time, they got to take care of theirs. I didn't blink an eye when they find him.
He
didn't show up for minicamp.
Yeah.
Like, sorry, I hope your life's going to be fine, but you can't. Oh, by the way, if you decide to retire, I would expect them to go after any unearned prorated portion of his signing bonus that he's been given. Because your ability to do that as a team, if you give a $10 million bonus on a 5-year contract, guy plays 3 years, you can go after the last 2 years because it's prorated, even though they get that money up front.
Correct.
You can go after that last $4 million
Correct.
That did not go through procedure.
Right. Like they could have done with Justin Blackmon and didn't, because they're not getting any money out of Justin Blackmon. So,
okay.
They do have the right to go ahead and try and get that money back. None of us really know what's going on with Telvin, what he's going through, or what the reason is. None of us
maybe
really
Jalen does, but
okay, maybe Jalen
right.
does, but none of us.
Yes.
I think I put a lot of that, it would just take a phone call. If he had just been in contact with the Jags, just said, hey, look, this is what I'm doing. This is what I'm thinking. I need some help on this. Or even after he makes the decision that he's taking a step away, just to get on the phone with those guys and go, hey, look, here's what I'm doing. But they can't get – they have no contact with him. They're dealing with the agent, and it's not a good look on Telvin's part to not be in contact. Whatever he's going through, I mean,
right.
like you said, I mean, it
we
is
don't
what
know.
It is.
I'm
yeah,
not,
we don't
not
know.
Judging him or
yeah,
anything
I don't,
like that.
Yeah, I'm not judging him if he doesn't want to play, whatever. But – I think it's a bad look to not at least be in contact.
Honestly, it just makes me wonder at the surprise, and then he adds, still all love.
Which not.
Not right. Like,
it ain't
like,
love.
You could say yeah. it's all love. You could say anything.
It's love, though. No, it's not.
I brought this up the other day. MJD would say for years to me, you can say anything to anybody as long as you start with no disrespect.
Right.
And then, comma, I'm going to disrespect you because I said no disrespect. So it just magically makes it go away. But the fact that he seemed so shocked that they would do this makes me wonder, does he think he's getting like even the guaranteed part of the money in his deal? The guarantee, it's for showing up.
I wondered that thing. I wondered that too. Because he had, a $5
million
guarantee? $5
million of this year's salary became guaranteed on the third day of the league year. That money has not been paid to him.
Right.
That means that in other words, protected him. If they decided to move on from him after the third day of the league year, they're still on the hook for $5 million.
Correct.
So they're going to have to pay him that.
And once they put him on the reserve did not report list, he's not getting that money.
I would couldn't
no,
imagine
not,
that
no,
right.
He's not getting that money. So I don't know. And if he's unsure of all that, well, then he's getting some bad representation.
Right. Because. But again, if I were his representative, and maybe he did. Maybe he said, look, you can expect this, and even if you get it, you're like, hey, man, I tell you, I'm trying to get my life right, and this is how you respond, and you say you want to support me, and this is what you do. Well, I mean, we do want to support you to a degree. We want to protect ourselves as well.
And we just want to know.
Yeah. It just made me wonder what he thinks is going to happen once the season rolls around in terms of his money.
If he hasn't done anything paperwork-wise with the league, filed any retirement paperwork, when he gets there, he's going to be fined for missing the first couple of days until they put him on the reserve or the did not report list.
Right.
So and he's going to get fined again.
You can send that same letter to Unique. Generally, anecdotally at least, because I'm not involved in all these negotiations, but from what you hear, the overwhelming majority of those situations where guys holding out, agitating for a new contract, I'm not trying to cast him in a bad light here. He's exercising steps that are available under the collective bargaining. He's allowed to hold out. You know, people say, oh, he was under contract. Well, the CBA anticipates holdouts, and it has a fine schedule.
Right, which is why they put all those numbers in there.
Here are the repercussions. And as we always say, you know, people say, oh, if I did this, well, if you did this, you would not have the protection of the collective bargaining agreement. The part of the protection is, like, they can't take him to labor court. This is the document that governs everything that's going to go on. But what I was getting to, the overwhelming majority of those situations, he may get a fine letter, $88,000.
It's never paid.
And it's never – right. Then it's forgiven. It's part of the contract negotiation is that we're ripping that up.
Correct.
And because we want everybody on a fresh new start, happy, moving forward. Difference with Telvin – as we pose this question this morning, which is the most likely to happen? Foles starts all 16 games. Fournette gets 4.5 yards per carry or better. Telvin ever plays for the Jags again, or Jan gets a contract before the opener. Very few people voting that Telvin ever plays for the Jags again is most likely. That's ever. That's not this year. That's ever. And I don't think he's ever going to suit up for the Jags again at this point. I think that's where the safer money is. So he's in a different category than Unique Ngakoue is. Unique is a guy, and I'm not saying they want to burn the bridge with Telvin, but Unique is a guy who their relationship with him is much more important at this point than the relationship with Telvin Smith from the eyes of the team. It's common sense.
He's a pass rusher, 30 sacks in 3 years.
He's not threatening to just not show up for no reason in particular.
Just in general, when you look at the value of the position, Telvin's an outside linebacker that doesn't rush the passer.
Right.
Those guys, you can find those guys all over the place. I mean,
hope so.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like you can't find an out. It's not as hard to find an outside linebacker that doesn't rush the passer as it is to find a guy that can average double-digit sacks.
Oh, no question about it.
So, from that standpoint,
at the same time, I don't want to say Telvin Smith's grow on trees because he did lead the league in tackles.
He did, and he's had more solo tackles than anybody else since he came in the league.
Right,
but he also is coming off arguably, certainly, I would say arguably his worst season
possibly
in the league.
I'm not saying he's a perfect player, but I don't think you can just find a guy and say, we'll find another guy who's going to lead the league in tackles for the next half decade.
No, but the question I have is, leading the league in tackles, where are the big plays? And he's made
he's
a bunch.
Had them.
He's had, but last
didn't
year
last
he didn't
year,
have.
Granted.
Yeah. But you want guys leading the league in tackles is fantastic. Okay, that's great. That means you make a lot of tackles. It means you're in a position to
you're
make a lot
of tackles.
You're around
the ball, right? You're active. You're staying healthy.
You're healthy. You're not missing tackles.
Right.
So that's
fantastic.
Or at least
not that many.
Right. But you need plays too. And in 17 he made a bunch of big plays. Last year he made the play in the Dolphins game when the season was essentially over. It wasn't anything spectacular of a year for him. It was not a good year. Coming off a year like that, if you're doing this to make a point or to hold out, would not be a smart thing to do, which is why there is something legitimately going on with him that's a major issue. But again, all this could be done much better if he had just had a phone call with them.
Oh, no doubt.
And there was communication, and they could say, hey, Telvin, look, here's the deal. If you file some paperwork that retires, doesn't mean you can't play next year. When you want to come back next year, you can petition the league. We'll still, you come back. Your contract pauses. You'll be due $975 next year, $5 million guaranteed. So you're all set there. And if you just file the paperwork, we'll do whatever we can to help you out. And, you know, this will help us out a little bit. We appreciate that. Instead, it's, you know.
It is what we're at right now.
Exactly. Right. So, and I don't know, you know, maybe he will file some paperwork between now and camp, but I don't anticipate it, and I don't think the Jags do
either.
Yeah,
and which, again, why I think a lot of fans don't see any resolution anytime soon. Telvin Smith, with over 250 votes, only pulling in 3%. For him ever playing for this franchise again as the most likely of those four outcomes, which, as of right now, none have ever happened. Now, obviously, Jan, we're talking about his first opportunity to get a contract extension, but Foles has never managed to start 16 games in a season. Fournette's never even cracked 4 yards per carry, and they all are ahead of Telvin's likelihood, at least in the fans' eyes, to ever suit up for the franchise again. Coming up next, this date in football and the Roland Reich role around the National Football League. Mike Dempsey, D-Rock, and E.T. here with you. Jaguars today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
And now, this date in football history.
All right, got a little odds and ends list here for this date in football history, the 19th of June. D-Rock, in 1943, due to a shortage of players because of World War II, the NFL's Philadelphia Eagles and Pittsburgh Steelers merged for one season. Do you remember what they were called for that season?
The Steagles?
They were the Steagles. That's exactly what they
were. Were they really?
They were, absolutely. That's an actual historical NFL fact. They played as the Steagles, a combination of the Steelers and Eagles in 1943, and they dissolved that union on December 5th of that year. December 5th. Imagine you could start your offseason on December 5th. That'd be too much offseason.
The last decade, this team started their offseason like before Halloween, to be honest.
Good point. Now, I've had enough offseason already. I don't know about you. I'm ready to get on to this campaign. All right, let me read you a list of football player names, and you tell me what they have in common. Ab Box, Alexander Smurly Lawson, Alfred Cap Fear, Angelo Mosca, a bunch of other guys as well. Any idea who those guys are?
They were probably members of the first.
Yes?
Cleveland Browns team?
Oh, the charter members of the Canadian Football League Hall of Fame announced in 1963. I thought, wow, you were really
good. I was kind of close.
You are pulling a fast one on me. Famous birthdays for this date include happy 42nd to a pair of guys. One guy, Florida State fans thought would maybe dominate in the National Football League, but didn't turn out to be that way. Peter Warwick was born in this state 42 years ago, the fourth overall pick in 2000 by the Cincinnati Bengals. Had a big game against the Jags in the rain, as I recall, back in the early 2000s. He only lasted 6 years in the NFL, was out of the league by age 28. Also born in this state, a former Jaguar, Kawaki Thomas, was a fifth-round pick by the Jags in that same 2000 draft. Ended up starting 11 games in 5 seasons in Jacksonville, and also happy 27th to C.J. Mosley, the 17th overall pick in the 2014 NFL draft, a four-time Pro Bowler, signed an absurdly large contract as an inside linebacker with the Jets. He's 27.
Seems like he's been in the league for a decade.
He's made 4 Pro Bowls in 5 years, and I think the Jets paid him like $14 million on average to play inside linebacker, and he's not a big splash play guy as much as, you know, like a Von Miller type,
right?
Obviously. Would be. So that's what we have for you on this date in football history.
Now, let's roll around the NFL with Roland Reich Plumbing, where quality and experience count.
All right, let's take a little peek at what's going on around the National Football League. Obviously, not a ton of newsy news these days, as everyone's kind of in the quiet period building up towards training camp. The Giants' Daniel Jones, overall pick number 6 in the NFL draft, been getting booed in some public appearances up in New York, most recently at a Yankee game where they just booed him unmercifully. I don't know if they're booing him, the concept, the team, but he's the one that they're saying, hey, ladies and gentlemen, direct your attention to seat whatever. There's New York Giant quarterback Daniel Jones.
We hate you because of of who you are as a person,
right,
is basically what they're saying at this point. It's awful.
Right, exactly. Like, it's your fault. He says he's not bothered by the New York boos, which is good.
Because he's going to hear them.
They're going to keep coming until and unless he surpasses many expectations. The Lions' Matthew Stafford apparently played through a broken back. You hear broken back, you think someone's never going to walk again. He had some cracked bones in his back, and this was announced yesterday, as Detroit Lions reporter Mike O'Hara revealed some details on the injury. He said he's durable but does play with injuries. As it turns out, he had broken bones in his back. After being asked if he was supposed to say that, O'Hara replied, "It's been reported." Apparently, I don't know.
Was he on the injury report with a back injury?
He may have been. But being on the injury report with listed as back isn't the same as reporting that he had broken bones
right,
in
but
his back.
What I'm saying, though, is if he wasn't on the injury report with back, then that's a problem.
Isn't the argument that if you are 100% likely to play, if there's no, like, it used to be probable was supposed to be 25% or 75% likelihood that you would play. I think they've kind of done away with those definitions, right? Because they've changed it, because it used to be probable, questionable, doubtful, and it was 75, 50, right. 25%. And the argument was always like, well, when a team didn't list a guy, there was never any question that he was not going to play. So he was 100%, even though he was hurt, he was 100% likely.
I think the rule is if you're limited in any way in practice because of an injury, then you have to be on the injury report.
What if he was? That may be. Maybe he wasn't limited. Maybe he just played through it.
I'm just interested to see.
I don't
remember.
You know, MJD brought up over the last couple weeks about Todd Gurley. Said, I think it was an interview on, he was either on NFL Network or NFL Radio, and MJD's worked as a broadcaster with the Rams.
Right.
And he said Todd Gurley got hurt he couldn't remember if it was the first or second game of the season last year, and that it finally kind of caught, they were managing it, and it kind of caught up to him late in the year. Never was reported.
No.
Never no. was reported. So that kind of stuff certainly does go on. And also, the Jaguars put out a call to fans on the First Coast and around the world to share their favorite memories from more than two decades of Jaguar football as they're trying to continue a year-long celebration of the team's 25th season. You can visit jaguars.com/fanstories and relive your best Duval moments throughout the summer. So what's your best Duval moment, Mike?
Oh, man. You know, it's funny because I didn't really pay much attention in all those years that I was
covering the Gators. Right.
Yeah, I mean.
What's your most recent then, in your recent vintage?
Probably the run to the AFC title game 2 years ago, because that was fun and it was unexpected.
That was a blast.
Yeah, and this team was so bad. I will always remember this. I had just gotten hired at the Times Union in April of 93. And when we got the team, we were all watching in the TV in the sports department. And I think I was still a part-timer then when we got the team. And, you know, everyone was excited or whatever. And one of my bosses looked over and he goes, "This is going to be great for all of us." He's just like, "You all have no idea what this is going to do for your career. You're in an NFL city now." So I'm like, "Oh, okay, whatever. Now I'm going to go back to typing in bowling scores."
Right,
I had to do
right.
for community
Maybe
news.
Maybe he meant down the line. You know,
I was like, "Okay, sure. I mean, that's great. It's exciting. I love the fact the NFL's here." But I'll always remember that because I think immediately after that, I was like, "Well, I'll go back to typing in my bowling scores now."
Wow, the Candlepin League. Obviously, it has. I mean, I don't think this station would exist without the presence of the Jaguars. Being an NFL city, and who knows what I would have ended up doing back. Like my favorite moment or storyline like that was probably covering the team in Pittsburgh in 2007 when they went in and beat the Steelers for the second time, first road team to do that in one season, and he had the Garrard run and all that stuff. And because I didn't, you know, I was covering the team loosely for an AM station down in St. Augustine starting in 96, but I didn't go on the road to the playoff games or anything like that. I had a little fledgling sports talk show back in the day. I remember talking about we had a one-day-a-week show, and I remember coming on talking about that playoff run and, just that whole era. But to be there and to get to go down on the field, which you can't always do in every place anymore.
Yeah, you used to be able to go within the last 5 minutes or 3 minutes
like at least by the two-minute warning, you would be allowed to be on the sideline. And then 9/11, a lot of teams changed their policy. Right? And that's really when it flipped right up until that point. But Pittsburgh still allowed you to do that at the two-minute warning. And so, or maybe it was only for the postseason. I don't know. I don't cover the Steelers, obviously. But we got to go down there, and it was kind of in stages because you have to leave the press box, so there's a risk you're going to miss a play or two.
Right.
And at the bottom of the elevator, there's a little, like, holding room. They're waiting for the two-minute warning, and they had a TV, so you saw, like, a play. I think we might have even seen Garrard's run while we were in that room, if I'm not mistaken. And then I got to go out on the field, and basically Scobie kicked the field goal right over my head. You know, like, I was standing at the back of the end zone watching, and then to come around, and there was a strip sack on Roethlisberger, and I think Paul Spicer was involved in the play. I've talked about this play before. I can't remember all the particulars of the play, but just the players basically rushing past me. It was fun, you know.
Yeah.
It's fun to be down there and just kind of be an observer, right, like a fly on the wall, you know.
I was on the field in the end zone when Morton Anderson missed the kick.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Did you are you the one who told the cat Jackson DeVille to go shake the
goalpost? Wasn't me, but I do remember I was sitting there on the stand there on the sideline because we're waiting to get on the field because like then you could get on the field, and I looked over at my buddy Marlon who was there with me from the Times Union, and I was like, you got to be kidding me.
That he was doing that?
That he missed the kick.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's a gimme. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. This team's going to the playoffs. And that was pretty fun.
What a run.
Yeah.
I mean,
the city, nothing has captured the city's attention like that. Even the 2017 run.
It's understandable,
though.
It was so magic.
Yeah.
It was so quick. It came out of kind of nowhere, right?
And everybody loved the Jags at that point.
Oh, you know what I mean? Right.
The stadium was packed.
Honeymoon. And it was so loud down there because during that run, the home games, just going down there and listening and feeling the place shake like it did when they were on that winning streak to end the season was just absolutely out of this world, man.
Yeah, that was...
It was a good time. Let's recapture some of that. You know, not saying it can't happen again. It's never going to happen in that magical
no,
fashion.
You can't recapture
right,
or
but
recreate that.
You can have that level of passion. You know, consistent winning is what it takes. You know, I hear yesterday a lot of fool me once, shame on me in terms of how you rate the offseason. You know, like, the whole thing is wait and see because I've been down this road. We've heard about how the Jags have, quote, won the offseason,
right,
dominated the draft,
16,
did great in free agency.
15, I think they both, you know,
right,
they were the offseason.
And then
teams.
17, it came to pass. But
eventually,
that was the one,
right,
in out of the.
Well, if you say something's going to happen long enough,
it'll
often enough, it eventually
yes,
happens.
It eventually, generally, will happen. And you're right. The old broken clock theory, right, twice a day. Unless it's digital, then you're on your own. All right, we'll come back. More on the Jags. Mike Dempsey, Mike DiRocco, and ET here with you. Jaguars today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
I think we're just going to use one three-word phrase. We'll probably be up and down. The high of Nick Foles signing, low of Telvin not coming.
Yep.
The low of Ngakoue.
Sure.
Not being there for minicamp. Leonard Fournette skipping six OTAs, that kind of thing. But if I were going to just go three individual words, it would probably be excitement, disappointment, and then finally hope.
Now, more Jaguars today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
That is ESPN's Mike DiRocco.
It's bad enough that I have to hear my own voice.
You don't like your voice?
When I'm transcribing on tape, nobody likes hearing their own voice. I don't think.
I love hearing my own voice. Are you kidding me? I freaking love it. And everybody knows that. Like, oh, Dempsey loves the sound of his own voice. You're damn right I do, all right?
If you ask,
guilty as charged, baby.
I mean, those of us, I've had this conversation with a ton of people. Like, when you're transcribing tape, sports writers, it's like we cringe when we hear our voice. It's like, fast forward through that. Let me get to the quote. So, that was way too much of my own voice.
Got a lot of submissions on best covers of original songs. I'll go through some of them for you here on the text line, which is built by Lifetime Enclosures. Several people pointed out Blinded by the Light, which was a Bruce Springsteen song. And Manfred Mann, you know, the version you are used to hearing,
right,
that is, you know, I don't know if I've ever heard Springsteen's rendition of it.
I know I haven't.
But when you hear it and you're like, wow, that was, you know, anyone else that did that song and you couldn't imagine it, that's probably that the cover is better. I mean, there are obviously some covers that are better, but you never knew who the original was. That original never clicked. Heard it through the grapevine. Marvin Gaye, CCR, Gladys Knight, and the Pips. Who did the first? A lot of people did. I don't know who did the first one. out of that. I don't know if it was one of that trio that did the first, or it was just one of the songs
I don't know that
was floating around back in the day. Several people have mentioned that I Will Always Love You, which is one of the great vocals of all time, I think, by Whitney Houston, was done by Dolly Parton. Kidding me? I may admit publicly to occasionally, hey, Alexa, play Whitney and singing along to it. You don't do Whitney on American Idol. They'll quickly, you better bring it if you do Whitney on American Idol. But, boy, I'll do it at Cassandra Lane. Okay? Just the way it is. I love it, man. She is phenomenal. All right, let's get Fan Cam up here. I don't know what he wants to weigh in on. It's a hodgepodge, as usual, here in the month of June. Fan Cam, you're on Jaguars Today. What's going on, bud?
Morning, guys. There's no telling what I'm coming up with, huh?
I don't know. I have no idea. Yeah. Am I weighing on music or the Jags or something completely different? Maybe the Rays.
Gardening tips for D-Rock.
Maybe you want to talk about how the Rays are doing over the last few days.
Unlikely that will be the topic this
morning. All right. Good.
I just wanted to give a public shout-out to the Jaguars for their fan outreach program, and you guys as well for giving it a shout also. I think it's a phenomenal thing. And that's one of the really the true stories here in Jacksonville, despite our anguish on the playing field at times. The fan support for this organization has been phenomenal. Back when I used to put my newsletter out and the NFL actually published the number of fans that showed up on game day rather than ticket sales, the Jaguars averaged about 2.5% of the rest of the league and the percentage of the population in the area, metropolitan area, turning out on game day. Literally 250% more of the metropolitan population would show up at that point, Alltel and the variety of incarnations of the stadium than the average NFL city. And it's really phenomenal because even when the team wasn't doing well, we were still putting 60,000 in the stadium. And that represents, 10% of your 10 to 13% of your population showing up on game day every day. That's phenomenal.
Yeah, it's definitely a bigger burden. I mean, when you look, Soldier Field, for instance, has a smaller capacity, and the Jags, in many of their down years, have averaged more fans than the Chicago Bears, and Chicago has such a bigger pool of people to draw from, Cam. You're right. When you look at it in that perspective, it is pretty impressive, as is Fan Cam D-Rock's replica 17th Island Hole. What is it, 1/6 scale, Fan Cam? Is that what you got working out there?
It's a. I'll shoot you guys some pictures here later this morning. I just got it finished. It's a 1/5 scale replica. One-fifth. It plays a gap wedge or a sand wedge, and has the three tiers like the true island green. I haven't been able to put the lake around it yet, but we're working on that.
But the bulkhead is there. I mean, seriously, he's got the tee box, the whole thing. I was out to the Hacienda not too long ago, and I've heard it described for many years, and now I've seen it myself. It is pretty cool.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome.
I would not play a gap wedge at Sawgrass. I'm not going to tell you what club I'm going to need to hit to get there from the tips, but on 17, but it is not a gap wedge. Don't have that. I don't have the 125, 130-yard gap wedge shot in my bag unless I thin it. Fan Cam, thanks, buddy. We'll get out there soon, I am sure. 641-1010 if you'd like to weigh in. D-Rock, several – took umbrage with you.
Yeah, what else is new?
On it being a bad look by the Jaguars to find Telvin Smith. Here's one example. Strong disagree about it being a bad look. It's a responsibility of the team to take care of themselves. If anything, it's a bad look. It's on Telvin for posting the fine. So how?
Well, just because they had to do it, just because I say it's a bad look doesn't mean it's not the right thing that they had to do. I just think from this standpoint, I'm taking the season off. I got to get my family right. I got to get my health right. I've got some, that's what he said. It's family health issues is why he's taking it off. So then you find him. But the bottom line is they really had no choice because you can't find Unique and you not find him. If Telvin had fired the retirement paperwork, then it wouldn't have been an issue.
Right, wouldn't have been fine.
Right. So, I mean, look, they had no choice in it. I just know that from a public relations standpoint, and I get why everyone's like, well, he didn't show up. Yeah, I know. But he's also told you that he's not coming because of the health issues, whether it's mental health, physical health, whether it's him, his family, whatever. He's got something going on. So just from that standpoint, I just thought it would be a bad look. You know, but they had to do it. They had to do it, and, you know, it is what it is. If that's the biggest PR hit they take on this, then that's not a big deal.
Yeah, I don't honestly, I don't think they're taking all that big of one. Right. And when it happened, not to, you know, the only reason we're even talking about it at all this week is because of the fine that he posted last week. And we, I doubt it would have even been thought of as a talking point, you know, to, I wonder if they fined Telvin for not showing up. Maybe we would have brought it up and it would have gone by the wayside. But, you know, when it happened, I know there was – that Telvin said he received a lot of negativity, right? And I'm sure he did. I don't doubt that.
What was he said the weekend after? Y'all need to calm the F down?
Yes. Yes. yes, that's exactly what he said. And Jalen Ramsey wants you to leave poor Telvin alone. Just leave him alone. What are we doing? I mean, I'm not knocking on his door, you know, not showing up at his front door. Anyway – I don't expect that my Twitter feed is a representative example of every Jaguar fan opinion out there, but it was overwhelmingly pro Telvin.
Yeah, I thought so too.
At the time, you know, the feedback I got, like, hey, if you need to get right, man, you know, stay strong. Things are more important. I don't know this cause I haven't really solicited the feedback, but my sense just from the stuff I've gotten is that people are like, well, yeah, well, I get it. Get yourself right. But team needs to get itself right as well. I just think the PR hit is way less significant. Most people would see the team's point of view on this.
Right. And here's the thing, though. Everybody loves Telvin. It's hard not to like Telvin. If this were Leonard doing that, everything would be completely different. If Leonard had said, I'm taking the thing off to get right, the overwhelming response would not
this
have been
This is
positive.
True. Telvin Smith is arguably could have been maybe the most popular Jaguar. Really. I mean, he is wildly popular.
Oh, absolutely.
Among
As
the
he
fans.
Should be.
I mean, no question. Yeah. Right? Great, engaging personality.
Right.
Productive
Funny
on
guy,
the field.
Yeah, makes big plays.
All
or
those
made
things.
Big plays.
Yeah, you know, all those. Right. So, guys have bad years. It's not, I don't think, in his case, from any lack of effort or lack of preparation or anything like that.
No.
And, you know, he stayed healthy, stayed available, things along those lines as well. All right, let's see. Tony on the south side wants to weigh in on Jaguars today, so let's give him that opportunity. Good morning, Tony. How are you?
Hey, good morning.
What's up?
Hey, I just had a question for Mike DeRocco. He
sure.
said the Jaguars didn't have a choice but to fine Telvin. I was just wondering if Ngakoue got fined for not coming to minicamp.
Oh, absolutely he did.
Okay. All
absolutely. Yeah. 88,650, I want to say, is the number. Yeah. Ngakoue got fined.
Pretty much about the same.
Yeah. Well, it's a standard fine. It's like, and it changes per day.
Right.
Yeah. It's like 14,000 one day.
Right. And then it goes up, and then it goes up.
Like
27,
then 44,
right.
Something like that. So, yeah, he got fined as well. And that, he knew that was going to happen. And that's
right. And as
that
we
you,
talked about, right. that's something that on paper, here's your fine. We can still rip up that paper at a later
correct.
Date. We
if they get, do or, another. If they do another
if they
contract.
Do, put it this way. If they get a contract done before the season, that fine's never being paid.
Correct.
By Yannick Ngakoue.
Yes.
And may not be anyway. You know, you put that, you find a guy. Can there be different standards for different players? Perhaps
yeah.
so.
There generally is.
Right. I mean, if you feel like things are progressing well with Yannick and maybe the contract doesn't get done, like Telvin's did. Telvin, I went back and looked. Telvin got his contract in late October of his fourth season.
Right.
Right. So he's under contract for 4 years. So he's in his last year. Now, granted, he was a fifth round pick. Jan's a third round pick. They had both outperformed their respective draft position and therefore their contract. But it was late October when he got his extension. So he had to play basically half of his fourth season to get it. So if you feel like, if you're from the Jags' perspective, you're progressing towards that it's eventually going to get done, I think you're going to withhold. Trying to collect on that
absolutely.
88 grand.
And that's kind of been their
story.
MO in terms of, like, they did send Derek late in the season. They did Roy Miller late in the season. There's one more that they did late in the season that I can't really remember.
Hearns?
Hearns they did before camp.
Was that okay?
Yeah, was before camp. So, I mean, I just expect that he'll have a new deal before the season opener. I would be surprised if he didn't.
All right. I would be surprised if he did. Right now, because everything you hear is his camp thinks he should be paid like the Frank Clarks and DeMarcus Lawrences of the world, and I don't think the Jags are going to do that.
I think there will be a
middle ground that
they'll
settle
on. Yeah, I don't want to say middle ground, but I think there will be some compromise on both sides. Like, you, if you could say to Yannick, look, Okay, we're not going to give you $20 million a year, but we'll guarantee you 62 or whatever.
Honestly,
you might take
that. That's the only part to me that I think they worry that much about. If you're guaranteeing him that much money,
yeah, then it really shouldn't matter what you average per
year.
Boy,
if they're ready to guarantee him 60
plus. Well, I
plus
just threw that.
Right.
I mean, I'm
okay.
just throwing it out. Yeah, but
because
like,
I think that's high.
Right. I mean, I think he's to sign Unique. You're probably going to have to guarantee him $50 million, at least. I think would be what they would want.
I have to see what Frank Clark and DeMarcus Lawrence got. Now, again, different situations, franchise
right.
tag.
I mean, I think I wrote what one of those guys got.
In terms of the guaranteed money?
Yeah, I think.
That would require me reading your work.
That hurts.
There it is.
Very hurts. Hurts.
And recalling it because I have a bad memory. Of course, I read it the moment I'm aware it's out. And then sometimes I forget things. All right, look that up. We'll take a quick timeout. We'll come back. We'll look at some of the feedback to the question of the day presented by Gravely Zero Turn Mowers and American Workhorse since 1916. We gave you four scenarios and asked you which of those is most likely to occur for the Jags. We'll weigh in on that on the other side. Jaguars today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Now more Jaguars today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
All right, a lot of people mention a lot of cover songs that they like better than the original. Everyone should do themselves a favor and listen to Easy by Faith No More. Is that the Commodores' Easy by Faith No More? That would seem like a genre-bending kind of cover right there.
Yeah. By the way, Blue Suede Shoes, Elvis covered.
See? He's a cultural appropriator.
He did.
He's a thief.
Cyndi Lauper's Girls Just Want to Have Fun was a cover, too. I did not realize
Are
that.
You serious?
Originally by Robert Hazard.
Really?
Yeah.
Now my whole childhood is destroyed.
It's gone. You just don't know what to do.
Oh, E came back with that song like right after we were talking about it. I'm like, are you trying to suggest that Cyndi Lauper did not do the original version? I think that was just a pure coincidence.
It actually was.
Pure coincidence.
How about that?
How about that? You learn something useless every day on
this
program.
That is kind of what I do.
I'm not going to argue with you. You did do the research, though,
yeah.
on guaranteed money in recent high-end pass rusher contracts, right? D Ford got one from
right.
San Fran because Frank Clark came on board to Kansas City. He got one, and DeMarcus Lawrence got one from the Dallas Cowboys. What was the guaranteed portion of those contracts? What did that look like?
Yeah, let's see here. D Ford got 45 guaranteed, $45 million. DeMarcus Lawrence, 65, Frank Clark, 62.3, and Trey Flowers, 56, and oof. One more.
That'll show you what the power of free
Danielle
agency.
Danielle Hunter got $40 million guaranteed. He signed with the Vikings before last year. So they signed him a little early so they wouldn't have to
Danielle
pay
Hunter's
him a ton.
Might be the best player out of the entire list,
yeah, and
honestly.
And they got him 5 years, 14.4 a year. That's pretty reasonable compared to what Frank Clark just signed for and D Ford and DeMarcus Lawrence. So,
right. So did Hunter have another year left on his deal? I'm assuming he did when they signed him to an extension is my guess.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So his situation is more comparable to Yannick Ngakoue's situation. Now, I'm not saying that $40 million a year doesn't take a bump, right? But that's, I think, the Jags' position. You're not a free agent, we don't have to apply the franchise tag to retain your rights.
Correct.
We just have to have you under contract for $2 million this year, and we still have the franchise tag in our back pocket for another year of service down the road. Now, whether that or not that creates too many, locker room problems or dissent or whatever, that's another issue to debate. But they have him under relative team control for two more years.
Correct.
As opposed to one. These guys being just the franchise tag that was applied to them. And that's where I think where the Jags are coming from. You're not, if you expect $65 million guaranteed DeMarcus Lawrence contract, why would we give that to you when we've got a year of your service for $2 million coming up? And let's say even the franchise tag is $18 million. That's 2 years, 20. Right? That's why are we going to set the top of the market for you? But it goes to show you don't want to wait the whole way. Is a guy like Trey Flowers, to me, doesn't seem to be in the company consistently of these other guys.
No.
Yet he got $56 million guaranteed.
Well, and you always overpay in free agency. So that's
right. And that's right. That's the point, right? Because there are other teams that can bid on these guys.
If he gets to free agency, he'll get $60-plus million.
Oh,
no,
I would think so, sure.
And he might get $19, $20, $21 million.
A year on average.
Correct.
Yes.
Correct.
I think he would on in the open market.
In the open market, yeah, absolutely.
But that's the Jags' point of view. Well, you're not on the open
market.
So why would we pay other than to make you happy? Like somebody said the other day, Unique has shown he deserves it. Okay, what has he shown he deserve? A raise in pay, but who sets that term? Does Unique just get to say, well, I deserve to be paid among the highest? I mean, and the Jags' point of view is, well, he deserves more money, and I'm sure they're very happy to pay him more money, but it can't be top of the market because you don't have that leverage to do it. So what exactly does he deserve, and who determines what he deserves, right? I think we can all agree.
I mean, we know what the market is.
We can all agree he's underpaid at $2 million.
Correct.
But he's not anywhere close to hitting the open market yet.
Correct. It's interesting to me how, like, this is the position that you want to be in with the Jags. That you have guys that you drafted that have become some of the best in the league and you want to extend them and keep them around with Jalen and with Jan. And in Jan's case, this is the perfect scenario. This is exactly what you want. You want a guy you drafted in the middle rounds to turn into a big-time player and it doesn't cost you anything for 3 or 4 years. And then, yeah, you might have
to break.
And
you've already gotten that benefit.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
So the bottom line is how they handle this negotiation and Jalen's negotiation is going to be interesting to watch. They've not been in – this regime hasn't been in this situation before because nobody they've drafted has signed a second contract, I mean, except for Marquise Lee, and that was not certainly any kind of a contentious negotiation at all.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, Blake.
Well, they
Blake,
gave Alan Hearns, although Blake, he was
but
undrafted.
But he was undrafted. He was undrafted, and they needed to spend there. But I'm talking about guys that became the best at their position in the league, among the best.
Brandon Linder got a second contract.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, he
forgot
did.
About Linder.
He is the one – that is most close to Unique because he got his after 3 years with a full year left on his deal, and they paid him as the highest paid player at his position.
Which was ridiculous.
Well, the only difference is, and it's a major one.
But he's not one of the best centers in the league, I wouldn't think, in the top two or three in the league.
They argue differently. I agree.
Can't stay healthy.
They argue when healthy, they think he is one of the best.
Oh, well, when healthy.
I understand.
I mean, great. That's fantastic.
Look, who are you? You're making me his agent here?
But he's not a premium position player either.
I understand. But so Unique is looking at that saying, well, wait a minute. He's not a – you made him the top guy at his position, no matter what position. You made him the top guy with a year left on his deal.
Right, but they paid Andrew Norwell in free agency – as the top guard for like a week. But that's – he was –
right, but at the time
agency.
They signed him, but he had been an all-pro.
All pro. Right.
Who had not allowed, according to the reports, sack.
Yes.
Maybe even a quarterback hit.
A quarterback
maybe no
hit.
One breathed on Cam Newton the entire year that he played.
I'm just eager to see how they do this because it's not necessarily – like the Yannick deal I think will eventually get done quickly. Or not quickly, but it will get done before the first game. I'm not sure how this Jalen thing is going to go. And that's the interesting one to really watch because you know if you're the Jags, okay, he's not getting a contract this year, and we've got him next year for the fifth-year option at 13.7.
And potentially the franchise tag
and
for a couple years.
And we could franchise tag him for at least 1 year after that.
Right, so that's the next 3 years at minimum, four.
Right, but the bottom line is if you do that, you risk Jalen not showing up. You risk him holding out of camp. And to a lesser degree with Unique, everyone's like, well, they drafted Josh Allen. Great, they did draft Josh Allen. But do we know if Josh Allen's really going to be any good?
We don't know.
Based on this team's track record with picks in the top 10, it's a better than average guess that he won't be
granted,
the player that they thought
but take
they
this,
want.
Take the fact that this team picked him, if the Giants had picked him or any other team had picked him in the top 10, the consensus was this guy was among the very best players.
It was one of the best picks in the first round.
But
we can't legitimately expect him to get 10 sacks this year.
Well, given the opportunity, I mean, why not? Bradley Chubb was that guy last year. right? He playing opposite Von Miller?
Right.
Playing opposite Calais Campbell? Couldn't he be? I think
– I think expectations on this kid, double-digit sacks, is way too much.
I think if Unique didn't play the whole year and Josh Allen started from day one, I would expect 10 sacks out of Josh Allen. You're damn right I would. I really would. I mean, that would be my expectation. But that's
right.
Doesn't matter. We hope that Unique is there. I will say this. Unique, if he were absent, not many teams could lose a pass rusher of that caliber and look and still have Calais Campbell and a guy who had 17 sacks in the SEC last year. You know what I mean? I'm just saying that their depth at the pass rush defensive end position is better than almost any team in the league among the tip-top guys, right?
But again, do you really feel comfortable rolling with an unproven guy?
I feel more comfortable having Josh Allen than not having Josh Allen.
Correct.
You know that? I'm just saying that if a team finds itself, there are plenty of teams that would love that Josh Allen, if they had drafted him in the top 10, automatically becomes their number one pass rusher. The Jags are not in that position, don't have to be in that position, and because they've got two outstanding pass rushers already on board.
Yeah, you're right, but I don't think they – you're a better team. Your best chance to win. You've got to get Ngakoue in.
They don't need Ngakoue.
And I'm not saying that they should pay him $20 million.
I'm just saying they're better positioned to deal with an absence of a pass rusher than most teams.
But I'm sitting here going, you know what? He's a rookie. He missed all of OTAs because of a bruised knee. I don't know what I can count on.
I understand.
I mean, I would feel very, very leery going into the season with him starting on one side without Unique Ngakoue.
Here's our poll question of the day, presented by Gravely Zero Turn Mowers, an American workhorse since 1916. Which of these do you think is the most likely to happen? And I'll tell you in the order of votes received, Unique getting a contract before the season opener right now, leading the way with 49% of the vote. Foles starting all 16 games, getting 40% of the vote. So those are what people feel is the most likely. Third option, Leonard Fournette averaging 4.5 yards a carry, which is not an absurd number for a really good running back in the National Football League, yet to prove he's going to be that guy. But only 8% of people felt that is the most likely. And only 3% of people, if they interpreted the question correctly, feel that Telvin Smith ever suiting up for the Jaguars ever again is the most likely out of this quartet of scenarios out there. None of which to this point, Telvin has played, but the other ones have not occurred. Nick Foles has not started 16 games. Fournette certainly has an average 4.5 yards a carry, and we'll see about Jan's contract. We'll see about XL Primetime right now.
Now, the 2-Minute Drill, delivered by Moe's Southwest Grill.
Welcome to Moe's!
At Moe's, our caterings come with a heaping side of peace of mind, not to mention the free chips and salsa, delivery, and setup. Visit Moe'sCateringFL.com.
All right, Big Leon Searcy back in the room. What's up, Leon? How
What's
are
going
you?
What's going on, gentlemen? How are you doing?
What's doing up? Well. I'm saw good. Your Facebook post on the preseason work with the Jags with TV.
I'm looking forward to
it's
it.
Exciting.
Yeah, first time around. I'm always looking to do new things, new challenges.
So, yeah.
Little color commentary. Brian Sexton and I.
It's awesome.
It up.
That's awesome.
In a suit, or we just have?
I hope not.
I
hope I'm in a nice polo.
Yeah, something like that,
yeah,
exactly. Man. It's preseason for one. It's hot as Hades in August.
Know.
And
I was trying to grow my beard. You notice I shaved it off.
Oh, because
getting preseason ready.
You know, remember when MJD grew the beard, the playoff beard?
Yeah.
Right. And he's like, I'm not shaving this thing until we make the playoffs. Then Monday Night Football crew rolled in. And all of a sudden, poof, gone. I had to look sharp. Had to look good for Monday Night
Absolutely.
Football. I mean, come on,
look,
bro.
Hey, look, let me tell you, someone that's on TV with a bad face, you got to do everything you possibly can to make it so it's people just don't go, ooh,
fair
when
enough.
They turn on the TV.
Yeah, because honestly, I do not have a face for TV. The scraggly beard is not TV presentable either, but I'm a radio guy, so I'm just going to go with it, man.
There you go, baby.
Leon, what do you have coming up on the show today?
We're at 12:30. We got George Reister coming on for me.
Nice.
Jaguar, going down memory lane with him a little bit. Then we're going to count down my favorite position, the top offensive lineman of all time, the Jaguars.
All right. Present company included or excluded?
I'm not going to include myself.
You damn well should. You better. It's we need you to fill out that list, man.
You really only need like 10 to 3 because 1 and 2 pretty much all set.
I think we're good on, on 1 and 2. There's no doubt. The book ends. All right, Leon, have a great show today.
Appreciate
it,
gentlemen.
You got it along with Matt Hayes and Hacker Josie out this week. Tony Smith hosting the Frangie Show with Lauren Rue and Philip Heilman of the Florida Times Union this whole week. So Tony will be back with me on Monday. D-Rock, what do you have cooking at ESPN.com in the near future?
You know, I'm really just taking the next 2 weeks to get some training camp stuff done.
Okay.
Before I go on my vacation. So there's really not much coming up.
So there's a downtime before your vacation.
It's not downtime. I've got a bunch of tape to transcribe, and I'm working on a story about the first training camp. That's hopefully what I'm going to have done before I go on vacation.
Ah, yes, the first training camp, the horror stories.
Training
camp up in Wisconsin.
Cattle dying, apparently.
Way back in the day. Maybe, is this like a cattle mutilation story, or is this just dying? Well,
I think they died from the heat. That's something that I read.
That'd be great if you could do a crossover with like Ancient Aliens kind of stuff, because that is
get that one dude on with
popular.
The hair.
Oh, Giorgio Tsoukalos,
is
man.
Is that who he is?
Love Giorgio. He's my man. We watched the hell out of Ancient Aliens in my house, man. Absolutely, bro. Yeah,
all I know is that any time that there is an alien show anywhere on Discovery or Nat Geo, he's the dude in it. He is always in those shows.
Oh, he's loving life right now. He's at the peak of his career. I saw a headline the other day. It said that archaeologists have only discovered 10% of ancient cultures. And I'm thinking, how would you possibly know that? Right? Like,
you got to know what the full amount is to get
10%. How would you know what percent that they've discovered to this point? But that stuff does fascinate me.
Math.
All right. Continue to vote on the Twitter poll at MD_1010XL if you haven't already. Cast your ballot. Right now, Jan getting a contract done before the 8th of September. That's when they kick off against Kansas City, leading the way with 50%. Of the vote. He pulled a percent away from Nick Foles starting all 16 games. That'll do it for us today. Thanks for tuning in to Jaguars Today. For Mike DiRocco of ESPN, for ET, for Fat Tony, who will be on this afternoon, and for Joe Fortunato, I'm Mike Dempsey. Back again tomorrow from 10 to noon on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Joe Jacksonville, let's go to the